This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Rise above and be in control with today's business headlines, driven by Volvo Cars.
8:48 right now, you're listening to The Morning Run. Chuang, Joyce and Mel here, keeping you company and keeping you abreast of the latest news in business and politics. Now, taking a quick look at Joe Low. Apparently, according to the New York Times, they cited government filings there in the US, Joe Low has spent over $1.1 million in the past 7 months on public relations services. This is to improve his reputation and image. So these services include round-the-clock PR or crisis PR response, efforts to shape internet search results, and also a website to, bolster his side of the story. And that's filled with international reports and legal filings. So I believe that website describes him as a global philanthropist.
Yeah, that's about as incorrect as calling Wayne Rooney a male model. But
I don't get the joke. Is that another football joke?
Yes,
I think
it is.
So. I'm going to Google Wayne Rooney while you keep talking.
He ain't no oil painting, I'll put it that way, okay? But this, you know, if Malaysians are not insulted and unhappy about this development, they should. Because this guy, Joe Lau, he's basically stole billions and billions of dollars from Malaysia and then spends that money on telling lies to you about the fact that he's apparently a good person when in fact he's not. He's a liar and a criminal. It's terrible. Basically, this arm of PR is called litigation communications, right?
Litigation communications.
It's a fast-growing field. And I think it's basically a clientele which are made up of rich CEOs, politicians, and basically no-gooders in this world. So I did some search on the internet and I found that two names popped up, FTI Consulting from London and APCO Worldwide. FTI Consulting used to be known as Financial Dynamics. I used to work with them in London. They're a very good firm and they've got lots of divisions within the business. And then APCO Worldwide. APCO Worldwide, incidentally, or not coincidentally, also used to hire a guy called Paul Stadlin, who also, not coincidentally, was also, Najib's spin doctor.
No element
there
of
you
surprise.
Go. There you go.
But I must say, you know, these filings provide a glimpse into this whole litigation communications industry, which caters, I guess, to the wealthy people and corporations who engage in legal battles.
Put it this way, if you're poor, you don't have to manage any reputation, right?
Well, it's not that you don't have to, you're not able to, right? So if you're
and no
poor,
one cares about you.
What we're taking away from this piece of news is the fact that, for one, Joe Low still cares about his international reputation, so he's clearly taking proactive steps to manage it. And secondly, he can still afford to do this because $1.1 million right, for over 7 months to manage reputation is a lot of money. So clearly, he's still plugged in, and secondly, he's still minted.
Minted with our money. It's terrible.
By the way, I just Googled Wayne Rooney. Yeah, you're right.
Well, so you agree. Fantastic.
Well, the firms are also saying that what you're doing is apparently to also ensure the client is not prejudged in public in a manner that affects his legal rights.
Mm-hmm. Also, they would rather have the public think of in that way. It's not a new branch of PR necessarily. I mean, you can go back to all the days of Lord Bell Pottinger. He's, you know, advised Berezovsky, Thaksin Shinawatra, I think even Margaret Thatcher back in the day. Spin doctors, that's what they do.
That's
either
true.
They advise companies or they advise individuals.
Look, I understand that's completely true, but I think the question to be asked here is how effective is it, right?
So it can be very
how
effective.
How effective is it, not just for a Malaysian audience, but especially if you're targeting, say, an international audience? You've got an international crisis PR management firm managing your international reputation. Yes, you know, Malaysians have an idea or have a preconceived notion of Joe Low, but whether or not this will be effective on the global stage, whether he will be able to scrub up his image in the global stage is, I think, the question at hand here. And speaking of Joe Low and 1MDB, I just also want to point out that Uma Pagan and PK Pagan of the Evening Edition spoke to Louise Story from the New York Times yesterday. And she is the New York Times staff reporter who first wrote about Joe Low in 2015. And the New York Times has a new documentary on Joe Low called The Kleptocrats, which Louise wrote and executive produced. So if you're keen to know more about that, you can download the podcast on the BFM app. All right, turning our attention to comments made by the Federal Territories Minister, Khalid Samad. He has proposed a political fundraising platform that utilizes cryptocurrency and blockchain technology. This is called Harapan Coin. What do you guys think about a cryptocurrency called Harapan Coin?
Well, I think some context is important here because Harapan Coin was actually started as a scheme way before GE14. It was meant to kind of like raise funds for campaign funding for a then impoverished opposition politicians. To go up against the gunpowder of an UMNO BN machinery, which, as we know it by now, is very well funded. So it's not something new. Originally, a lot of brickbats, because cryptocurrencies have gotten a bad name because they've been used by and large as a black market for funneling ill-gotten gains via drug dealers, etc., if you believe the hyperbole. But it can also be a force for good. And initially, I was a bit of a skeptic in terms of this.
Yeah, surely
currency.
The hyperbole is coming from somewhere, Chuang.
Yeah,
I mean,
because
it's not just not coming from somewhere. Correct. It definitely has
Correct.
Been proven.
You can send money to people and you can funnel. It's an alternative financial system. But then you can also say the chettiars of Penang and their network, their vast network of global chettiars can also be one as well. I mean, you know, look, I mean, the fact that it's quite fashionable at this point in time to talk about cryptocurrencies gives it kind of like a bad name, but it is basically the early stages of a technology revolution.
Yeah, looking at this Harapan Coin, according to the white paper published back in January, it was created to fund and finance the opposition then, their movement against the former BN government in preparation for GE14, and it claimed to be the first digital currency in the world to be utilized as a strategy to win an election, and pre-sales had begun in January for a period of 2 months with a target to raise up to $3 million. And I think also that the paperwork and presentation on it apparently will be presented to Bank Negara and the Prime Minister, Tun Mahathir.
Yeah, see, look, the reason why I'm cautious about it is because Bank Negara is cautious about it. They've already said that, you know, they've taken a very cautionary stance when it comes to ICOs, to initial coin offerings. And, they've already said it's not legal tender here. But, and if you want to get involved, you know, go in with risks, eyes wide open. You should be aware of the risks involved.
Well, you know, further context is required here because Bank Negara, like every other central bank in the world, is essentially a guardian of the financial system. Yeah,
sure.
The financial system comprises banks, and banks are in essence intermediaries between the funders and the users of that funds. And so is Bank Negara. The whole essence of the cryptocurrency mechanism is it decentralizes structures. It basically enables peer-to-peer funds flow without any intermediaries. And in essence, what Bank Negara is doing, in a conceptual sense, it is an intermediary.
Okay,
and
all right.
It will be disrupted by the cryptocurrency mechanism.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, the idea of Harapan Coin as
the idea of cryptocurrencies generally,
it
disintermediates. It removes the third parties, the middle parties, the brokers.
So, but if you look at Harapan Coin specifically, which is a political kind of fundraising platform, do you think that this mitigates the issues that we are seeing already with political financing and political fundraising? So you have this, you know, the opacity of political financing now is going to be, I guess, disrupted with crypto. Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah. So the essential pushback to the Harapan Coin is the fact that you might get funny money into the equation,
you don't know
right?
who's behind that, the funding, right? Who's giving that actual, or who's buying the coin?
But it's a structural thing. If you structure it right so that it's completely transparent, then why not use it, right?
Okay, well, Jessica has weighed in on WhatsApp saying that the Harapan Coin is a good idea in her opinion, and she's really looking forward to it. But, you know, this is coming off the back of news that Bitcoin yesterday plummeted under $6,000. It hit the lowest level of the year. I think overnight trade, 9% it fell to a low of $5,640.
It's very volatile, you know. It actually hit nearly $20,000 from December last year, and look at where it is today. Mel, you just mentioned that so it can be really volatile as well.
Yeah, as can be every other asset market in the world.
Yeah, but this volatile, Chuang, 9% overnight, that's volatile.
I tell you what, I used to work in the small cap market in London, 30 to 40% a day, intraday. In fact, within half an hour. I do. Look at me. And do you know what the most commonly traded small caps in those days was? Chinese solar makers. PV solar producers.
All right. Okay. Well, we've got the 9 o'clock news bulletin, and we'll give you the opening numbers in the news bulletin. But after that, we'll come back and take a look at what's happening in some of the stocks, including Scientex and Daibochi. So stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Keeping you on track for peak business performance with the new Volvo XC40, the expression of innovation. Volvo, made by Sweden.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.